Blog Talk Radio.
It's almost time.
You right there with the pretzel. Time to sit down.
Who's, man?
Yeah.
Hey, you going to the concession stand. You going to the bathroom. Come back. The show's about to start.
Got my boys. We out here ready. We about to be some high-flying, high-slamming, slammer-jammer, three-point shooting between the legs, behind your back, through your legs, on your neck. Hey, everybody, if you guys are getting your seats, I'm singing the national anthem.
Ready.
It's time to put down the babies. Put down the pepperoni.
Let's go!
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Game time!
Well, there, family. Good evening, good afternoon, all that kind of stuff depends on what side of the world you're on. This is another Parents Culture Parent Network Blog Talk Radio Show. I am your host, M.H. Scott. And once again, I'm going to promise you we're going to have a wonderful show. We got some great guests coming on today, and going to be some information that you may want to think about writing down for future reference. If you have a student athlete or child that's played sports, and the child's been in sports for a number of years, trust me, you don't want to miss this information, because this information we're going to talk about here today is focusing on mental health and sports. Mental health and sports. Oftentimes we think of the child's overall physical ability, but we never really focus on the mental health side of things. So hopefully this afternoon we'll be able to share some information with you and open your eyes on a few things. But what we're going to do, I'm going to try to get my man, Mr. Keith Wright, going here. And, you know, we have to play our opening jingle other than our little opening countdown there. Keith Wright is a student at the University of Harvard, currently attending the University of Harvard, and he is a basketball player there. So if you get a chance, look up his profile and give the man some kudos for this little piece that we're about to run here. He wrote this piece for me about a year ago, and this piece basically just talked to what he thought about overall going to school and playing sports. You know, he thought that it was a avenue to opening doors and getting a good education, which most young folks should think about that. Hopefully I can get Keith up on the air here, and if not, we're going to try to seem to be experiencing some little bit of technical difficulty, and this is not the day to do it. We have some very special guests on, and this is not the day for us to be experiencing technical difficulty, because that is truly a disappointing factor there. But it seems as though Blog Talk don't want to play with me today, and for whatever reason, I am not sure. But we're going to continue to work on it. But let me give you a little insight on who our guests are today, and hopefully I can get this thing going while this machine tries to outsmart itself and come up to the right page that it should be on. We definitely will have Dr. Ron Thompson, and hopefully we'll have his partner on, Dr. Roberta Sherman, excuse me, because the two doctors are psychologists in private practice in Bloomington, Indiana, especially in the treatment of eating disorder. Additionally, they have provided clinical and consulting services to the athletic department of University of Indiana, Bloomington, for the past 23 years. Having served as consulting in eating disorder and mental health issues to the NCAA, for whom they have co-authored the NCAA's coaching handbook, Managing a Female Athlete Triad, and Managing a Student Athlete's Mental Health Issue. They have also consulted with the Medical Commission of the International Olympic Committee on issues relating to disordered eating. In that regards, they have co-authored a disordered eating section of the IOC Medical Commission position stand on female athletes triad, and most recently assisted and the developing of the Healthy Body Image Project. And it's going to be interesting because I want to hear more about this Healthy Body Image Project. This health initiative by the IOCMC, which is the International Olympic Committee Medical Commission, for the 2010 Youth Olympics Games. They are presented more than 100 times regionally, nationally, and internationally to professional conferences. Their publications include a book on bulimia, a family guide, a guide for families and friends, helping athletes with eating disorders, the exercise balance. That's also interesting as well. And eating disorder in sports. And hopefully that's what we're going to focus a little bit more on today and hopefully have a nice, good conversation on it. Dr. Sherman and Dr. Thompson are fellows in the Academy of Eating Disorder, the AED, and jointly received the AED's 2008 Leadership Award for Clinical, Administrative, or Educational Services. So hopefully we can get good doctors on, and hopefully this here site is working for me today, and we can get some things going here. If not, you may be in for a long and sad day, and I truly apologize, Doc, if you're on the air holding, because I didn't anticipate this issue coming up. Maybe I can sidetrack this here and try something else different. Let's see what's going to happen here. Because this here show is one that we can't avoid to miss out on. We've already missed 5 good minutes of perfectly positive information, and we can't afford to miss much more of it. Because just reading some of the notes and things that I've read and that type of stuff, I know Doc has a whole lot of good information to bring to the table. Let's see what's going to happen here. Maybe it's the connection that I'm having. And I think that may be it. Oh, what a day, what a day. But like I was saying, the way I came across finding out some information, where I came across even discovering that Dr. Thompson and Dr. Sherman had did the book, I was doing some research on a book of my own. And the book that I'm currently in the process of putting together is called The Guide, The Parent's Guide to Raising a Student Athlete. And it's just a little insight on some of the things that I've came across over the years and something that parents need to be aware of, because oftentimes we miss out on these things. In a lot of cases, our children miss out on the opportunity to go to college and participate in athletics while they're there. So I started putting together some thoughts, and you know, this book is going to try to lean more towards helping parents understand some issues that's out there, that if they can get past these issues, their student athletes and parents alike, if they can get past these issues, they shouldn't have any problems with their college career. Some of the issues I'm speaking of is, you know, when we think about the NCAA most recent scandals that's going on, and I'm not going to get into name calling and all that kind of stuff, because we all know that there is a serious laundry list of violations that took place over the last few years. So we're going to try to avoid that issue. But what I want to talk about, and what I want to stress the point to the parents, is the simple fact that if we can avoid those issues, then maybe we'll have something. Maybe we'll get a chance to help our children succeed. And I'm trying a new connection here, and it doesn't seem like it's, well, it's trying to do something. And again, there, Dr. Sherman and Dr. Thompson, if you're still on with me, I truly apologize. Keep getting this new warning here that my site is not responding. No, has a long-running script, and I'm not sure exactly what this long-running script may be. Hopefully I can get past it. But if you get a chance, the NCAA's guide that came out that I spoke of a few minutes ago that Dr. Thompson and Dr. Sherman co-authored, it is called, came out in 2007, and it is called Managing Student Athletes Mental Health Issues. And it's actually an NCAA publication, came out in 2007. And some of the good information that's out there goes into a whole lot of great issues, great areas of concern. You know, we have, like, in the first chapter, it talks about mood disorder. In the second chapter, it talks about anxiety disorder, eating disorder. In chapter three, substance relations disorder. And I'm interesting to hear more about substance relations disorder when we get a chance to get the doc on. And it talks about management and treatment issues. You know, so these are some of the things that, you know, oftentimes we miss out on. And these are the things that we don't think about, you know, but you got to remember our children are far away from us in a lot of cases. And during that time period, we have to make sure that they stay and focus on what they should be doing, you know, participating in the classroom and being active and maintaining the grades and the whole work. And on top of that, being involved in this sport. You know, so these little things, you know, suicide, you hear about it each year. There's a number of issues going on these various campuses. You know, what caused these things? What caused these things to happen? And so hopefully Doc will be able to share some light on some of these things this afternoon, if I can ever get him on. If I can't get him on within the next few minutes or so, I may have to just push this show to the side, and we're going to have to come back up on another date. And I promise you, I promise everyone that we will have a valuable show. We'll have information that will definitely help out, and definitely this thing is not cooperating today. It is not cooperating today. Oh, this is so frustrating. This is so frustrating. Well, I'm not exactly sure what happened, but, oh, man. Well, what I'm going to try to do, if this show is not cooperating with me, maybe I can try something different here. Oh, Doc, please hang in there with me. Be patient with me, because we truly need to hear your insight and gather some information from you today. So if you're out there and you're waiting patiently, we appreciate it. Didn't anticipate this happening. I was sitting up on the site waiting for it to come up, and all of a sudden, I ran into this little glitch here, and I'm not exactly sure what's going on. And I'm not claiming to be tech savvy, so therefore, as a result, it's getting past me. So hopefully we can get something going here and get this show working for us. You know what? Doc, if you're near a phone, I'm going to try to reach out to you on the phone and see if that will work, and see if I can just bring us up on a three-way call. So, listening audience out there, just please hold for a second.
Yes.
Okay, well, what I've been able to do, I've been able to log into the show, and what I just done, I've called you three-way, so you're actually logged in through my phone instead of the network of the show.
Okay.
So hopefully we'll have time to get a little conversation going.
Well, hopefully. It's a very important topic.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now, I appreciate your patience. I don't know what's going on. I'm sitting here looking at this machine, about to throw it out the window, and but I don't want to do that, because then I'll really be lost. But again, folks, we have on the line with us today Dr. Thompson. And Doc comes to us from Bloomington, Indiana. Doc, am I correct?
That's correct. The home of Indiana University.
Okay. University, Indiana University.
That's correct.
That's in Bloomington.
That's in Bloomington. That's the main campus, right?
Yes. And I read off the bio earlier.
Okay.
Yes,
I was listening to you.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a good thing. Well, let's talk about this mental health issue. I'll give
okay.
you a little insight on what mental health is.
Yeah. Well, Michael, let me tell you a little bit about this NCA initiative and how it got started. And in 2005, my associate Roberta Sherman and I wrote a coach's manual on how to manage disordered eating, because we felt like it was a big problem among collegiate athletes. And since coaches are such a big part of the life of an athlete, we thought it'd be important for coaches to be able to identify the problem and then know how to manage it and how to refer kids for treatment. And the NCAA liked that manual, and we had such a good response to it. The NCAA asked us if we would write a more general manual for more general mental health issues, not just eating disorders, but depression, anxiety, substance abuse, those kinds of things. And those are really the four major areas in which most mental health problems occur, especially among college-age students. So what we wanted to do is to provide information that would help coaches and other sport personnel identify those student-athletes who are at risk or maybe who are already experiencing serious emotional problems. And that was the whole point. And we wanted something that was sort of quick and easy and something that we thought coaches would use. And what we did was in writing the manual to make sure that it was something that coaches would use, would think about, maybe in their own language. We had the cooperation of several coaches here at Indiana University as we were writing. They were reading everything we wrote and would critique it for us and added, and they were unbelievably helpful to us. So what we came up with was a couple of manuals that, from a coaching perspective, we think would be helpful to them in identifying kids with problems. The thing for us is identification is the most important part of the process, because we can't treat people until we identify them. And sometimes identification is difficult. I know people would think, well, what could be so difficult about identifying somebody who's depressed or somebody who has an eating disorder? But, you know, sometimes kids with problems sort of go underground a little bit. They stay away from people. They're a little bit harder to find. They may not talk as much. So it's actually pretty easy to hide sometimes in the sport environment, in the college environment, when you've got an emotional problem. And again, they're not the kinds of problems that most people are going to want to talk about. They're kind of personal and private, sometimes embarrassing. So we really felt like we needed to get better at identifying. And for us, that was starting with the sport environment with coaches and athletic trainers and other folks that might be working with the athlete.
Hey, I'm glad you mentioned that. Give us some of the telltale signs that parents can be keep their eye out for.
Well, in part, it depends on what you're looking for. I think the one that we get the most concerned about, obviously, is depression, because depression is probably, if it's not the number one mental health problem in the United States, it's pretty close. And, of course, the issue with depression is that there's always the element of self-harm or suicide attempts. You know, things to look for in particular is that when people get depressed, and everybody gets depressed from time to time, and I'm not talking about, you know, I made a bad grade on my chemistry exam or I didn't play well on Saturday or, you know, and I'm kind of down. I'm talking about a depression that lasts maybe weeks, months, that you feel it from the time you get up in the morning till you go to bed at night, and a series of symptoms that sort of affect everything about the person's life. We might be thinking about lower sad moods. Sometimes they might be crying. They might be irritable. They might be angry. often with depression, their feelings of worthlessness, helplessness, hopelessness. So not only do they feel bad, they feel like there's nothing they can do. No matter what I do, I can't make this better. We'll see eating and sleeping disturbance. One of the things to know about most mental health issues, especially those that relate to anxiety and depression, again, the most common kinds of problems, is that they almost always affect two things, eating and sleeping. It will either increase eating and sleeping or it'll decrease it. It'll interfere with it. It'll make it more difficult. It'll change it in some way. With depression, you've got usually a decrease in almost everything, a decrease in energy. The people are not as active. Concentration's not as good. They sort of move away from people. Their thinking is pretty negative. I mean, so you can see how you put a kid like this in a college environment where they're already feeling pressures to perform well academically, and then you throw in the pressures of competing at the collegiate level. I mean, we're talking about a lot of pressure, and I can tell you that pressure exacerbates or worsens any emotional problem you have. It doesn't matter what it is. When we have pressure, those symptoms are going to get worse. Often, the symptoms that we see, maybe an eating disorder or substance abuse, might be used to help them deal with the pressure. So sometimes the athlete may have more than one problem. You know, they may develop a substance abuse problem, drinking too much perhaps, in an effort to deal with their anxiety. People who are depressed tend to be attracted to alcohol. They're more apt to drink and abuse alcohol. So it's a much more complicated process, I think, than most people think.
Okay. Now, with that being said, is this something that happens all of a sudden? You know, depends on, is it something that, you know, someone can trigger it, and it happens all of a sudden, they go into the depression, they, you know, have these anxiety attacks, or just something that normally builds up over the time period?
You know, that's an excellent question, and it could actually be both. Sometimes what we often do is we try to think about risk factors, and there might be a risk factor that will trigger or start the disorder. But then there will be other risk factors that might maintain it or perpetuate it, keep it going. So there are a lot of different things to look for, but with depression can be purely biological, neurobiological. You can have an imbalance in the brain. We have neurotransmitters, and these chemicals play a role in virtually everything that happens to us. But they certainly play a role in terms of helping moderate our mood and keep us from being too depressed. And that can occur from a genetic predisposition. We get depressed from, let's say we lose a significant, let's say a parent dies.
Yes.
Or worse yet, in some ways for sport teams, somebody on the team dies.
Yes.
I mean, I was just reading the paper about a young man at Purdue, a running back, drowned recently. And those are devastating things to have happen to athletes. And sometimes you can be a little predisposed to, let's say, depression, and then something like that happens, or something bad happens, significant relationship breakup. It can trigger that whole process. And then pretty soon the depression gets worse. And sometimes the longer it goes, the worse it gets. Because, again, as you get depressed, your thinking becomes more negative. As it becomes more negative, as you look at ways out of this process, it's like, no matter what I do, I can't make it better. So there are numerous factors that interact, and I think sometimes we try to be too simplistic about things like depression or eating disorders. They're all multidimensional. They come from lots of different places. That's what makes it so hard to identify, and then once you identify, it makes it hard to figure out what kinds of factors and things we actually need to change.
All right. Well, you know, let me see if I can throw something in here.
Okay.
All right. I'm a parent, and I'm talking to my child on the phone. And all of a sudden, he's at school or she's at school, whoever is at school, and I notice I hear a different tone in their voice.
Uh-huh.
You know, because I oftentimes I tell parents now, and I tell my children just as well, don't send me a text message. Talk to me. I like to hear your voice. You know, because
absolutely, and you know, hearing the and in this technological age, I'm with you on this, Michael. When people talk to me, I can hear a lot more. I mean, I can hear emotion sometimes, and sometimes you can hear things that are not being said. But if it's sent via an email or a text message, we miss too much of that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay.
You know, so if I'm the parent and I'm hearing this. You know, I immediately ask them how they're feeling. I immediately ask them, you know, have you checked in with the medical folks? You know, most collegiate athletes, certainly here at Indiana University, we have a fabulous medical staff that works with our kids. And then, of course, Roberta and I provide some of the psychological along with some other folks as well. But I would have them check in with the sports doc, with their athletic trainer. To me, athletic trainers are probably the people we rely on the most.
Yes.
They spend an inordinate amount of time with the athlete. And again, not only are they specialists within the sport environment, but more importantly, they're healthcare professionals as well. So
yes.
I'd say, you know, talk with these folks, see what you need to do. Usually within every athletic department, they have a, sort of a process. I mean, if somebody goes to the medical folks or to an athletic trainer, the coaches, I mean, the athletes can get to us. They can self-refer. But the process has to get started some way. And what I would do is I would strongly push my athlete son or daughter to contact the appropriate medical folks, and then they in turn contact us. We set up an appointment as quickly as possible and try to take care of it. In on campuses where that might not be the setup, every campus has a college counseling center.
Okay.
And as a college student, you can be seen there. So you call there. If it happens to be after hours and you're really concerned about this person, the best thing to have them do is to dial 911, call their nearest emergency room. You know, I people always say, well, you know, what if it's not really that serious? Well, we don't know. I'd rather err on the side of maybe overdoing it than underdoing it.
I agree with you.
First of all, when we do that, we're telling the person that we're talking to how concerned we are. We're telling them how serious we think it is. And that's important for them to know, because if they're depressed, see, they're going to think negative, but they're going to say, oh, you know, Dad's not really going to want to listen to talk to me about, he's not going to want to hear about this. And that's one of the problems with kids who are depressed. When
don't worry about that. We're going to keep on talking about.
Okay. Sometimes when kids are depressed, they don't talk. You know, and so that's another thing as a parent. If you're not hearing from them on a regular basis, one of the, when kids get depressed, they start doing things that are abnormal. Everything that's normal sort of goes by the wayside. So if they've been calling you on a regular basis, they may stop calling you. And that may be one thing to watch for. If you notice something about your student athlete that's different, you know, they're doing something different. If they used to call you every day and now they're not calling you, I'd be a little bit concerned because something has changed their behavior.
Okay.
And maybe something very simple, but it could be something very serious.
Now, when you say reach out to the medical staff at college or university, is that possible for a parent to initiate that? You know, just have a one-on-one conversation with someone in the medical staff if they have that type of connection with that person?
Well, you know, I can only speak for what we do at Indiana, I certainly know that our medical folks here talk to parents, talk to concerned parents, family members. They understand how serious this is and how important it is. I think sometimes it's good for the medical folks to hear from parents, because it's another perspective. Because here at Indiana, we've got almost 700 athletes, and it's obviously hard for the medical staff to keep up with all of them. So if you've got information as a parent that you think the medical staff could use would be helpful with your son or daughter, I'd certainly pass it along to them.
Okay. Yeah. And listen to that, parents. That is a note for you to take and make sure that you do stay in touch with those folks that are working with your children on a day-to-day basis, because it's more important that you do react instead of sitting back and waiting and allowing something to happen, and then all of a sudden now you're looking at the wall like, okay, what should I have done? Okay, when you first heard that sign, when you talked on the phone, when you didn't get that true feeling that your child was okay, hey, contact somebody at the university or contact somebody at the college to say, hey, just put your eye on my son or my daughter, and are they still the same? Are they still doing all right? And they'll give you an honest opinion. They have nothing to hide. You know, they're going to give you an opinion and let you know. And at that time, that could help you ease your mind on what you need to do next.
Absolutely, Michael. That's great advice. And the thing to realize as a parent or family member is that you know your son or daughter better than anybody else. This is information that the medical folks can use.
Exactly.
I mean, I like hearing from parents. You know, when parents call and they're concerned and they want to give, I can't always give information out because of confidentiality or privacy issues, but I can always listen to what they have to say. And I can tell you, people who have emotional problems don't tell everybody the same thing. So the more sources from which you can draw information, the better able you are to assist your son or daughter.
Exactly. You know, Doc, you just said two key things there, sir. One, you talked about giving out information. Two, you talked about my mind just went blank. But what I was thinking when you said that was, you know, I talk to the parents all the time about putting a nice support group around their athlete to make
Absolutely.
Sure the athlete has someone to reach out to in the event that something like this happens.
Absolutely.
And you're connected with the medical staff, coaching staff, and all the other folks that's working with your child, then you have to make sure you maintain a solid connection with those folks.
Absolutely.
Because if you don't, what will end up happening, your child will start drifting out and nobody will catch hold of what's going on until the last minute, last day, last hour, last time. And we have to avoid that issue, you know, have to truly avoid that issue. Well, Doc, you know, give us something in closing. I'm going to try to wind this thing. You know what? I'm not going to even tell. We're not live. We're not streaming live anymore, but we're still on the air. We're still being recorded, and
okay.
I'm still going to add this into the show. So the first part of it, the first 15, 20 minutes, we were streaming live, and then it went to, after that little countdown that we heard, it was still recording, but I'm still going to figure it out and fix it up so that we can incorporate all this into the show and everybody can go and listen to the archive copy.
You know, Michael, I have to get off too, but let me just end by saying that don't worry about sort of being alarmed and assuming that, oh, gosh, it's probably not anything. Again, err on the side of caution. I mean, you know your sons and daughters better than anybody. If it sounds like a problem, it probably is one. Don't worry about making a mistake. Sometimes the biggest mistake we make is not responding. I can't tell you how many parents and other people I've talked to said, well, you know, I was afraid I was going to make them worse by saying something. No, the worst thing you can do is not respond. Especially if you've got somebody who's depressed, if you don't respond, I mean, these are people who are already assuming that they're not worth caring about. Respond. Be direct. Talk with them. Get involved. Get invested. Don't wait for something that you know is serious. I mean, don't wait until your son or daughter has attempted suicide, you know, to respond. Emotional problems, psychological problems, whatever you want to call them, are almost like any other type of problem. The sooner you get there, the easier they are to treat. And some of these issues can affect not only the psychological part of the person, but the physical part of the person. So by responding early, we identify early, we treat early, their life's less affected, and they have fewer medical and psychological complications that go along with whatever disorder they might have.
All right. Well, we've heard it firsthand, folks. We've definitely heard it firsthand. Hey, Doc, we appreciate you coming on this afternoon and sharing your time with us, and more importantly, being patient with us while we went through this
Well, Michael, let me tell you, one of the things that you learn how to do when you're a therapist, especially an eating disorder therapist, and you work with anorexic patients, and you're trying to get people to eat, is patience. You got to be patient, because this is not a fast process. It's a slow, sort of tedious process, and you have to have a lot of patience. So it was not a problem for me. Glad to be on the show, and if ever you'd like me to come back on and talk with you about some other things, I'd be happy to do that.
Yes, sir. We will keep that on our calendar and keep you on our calendar as well, because we think that you have a wealth of information to share with us, and these are things that we don't think about in everyday life.
You know, one final thing again, Michael. You know, these manuals, especially the managing student-athletes' mental health issues and the other one managing the female athlete triad, anybody can go to the NCAA website, health and safety website part of NCAA, and download those entire manuals.
Yes.
And they're free, and I would strongly recommend that people do it. It's just some real easy, quick information that we think will be helpful in identifying anybody who has a problem.
I appreciate that, Doc. Appreciate you sharing that information with us, and appreciate you sharing our time with us.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
All right, sir. You have a good day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Well, folks, we've been talking with Dr. Ron A. Thompson of Bloomington, Indiana, and he is a psychiatrist in private practice, and he's been doing that for a number of years, a great number of years. But more importantly, he's been working hand-in-hand with the athletic department at the University of Indiana, Bloomington. And he and his partner, Dr. Sherman, they've been working on a number of projects together, and we didn't get around to talking to them about working with IOC, the International Olympic Committee. We didn't talk anything about that, but trust me, we'll have them back on the show, and I'm quite sure they'll bring us another gold mine full of information. This thing of mental health, you know, and Doc talked so passionate about it, and you know, I just like it when we get these great guests on that are so passionate about what they're doing in the business. And they're not out there trying to just give us a line of information. But, you know, talking about this thing of mental health, and this is what I was going to say a few minutes ago, and I just drew a blank on it. But oftentimes we have a tendency to think that our high school coach or our summer league coach, select team coach, all-star coach, AAU coach, whoever, or someone else in that line is going to look at the best interests of our child the same way that we would as parents. Parents, come on, let's be real. Let's be very serious about this thing. You know, I say it all the time here on the show, and I want to continue to say it. That child has been in our presence and in our grasp and in our arms for anywhere between 16 to 20 years, you know. And why would we consider at a certain age, certain turning point or whatever, turning that child over to someone else for the last, you know, few years that they are still, you know, right around your household? And the years where the most nurturing needs to take place, can't do that. You know, the point that Doc brought up about, you know, talking on the phone, vice looking at a text message, you know, you can hear those things. Those things ring alarms in your ears when you hear certain telltale signs that tell you that, okay, that's something I need to be aware of. That's something I need to be concerned about. But the AAU coach doesn't know that. The high school coach may or may not be totally aware of that. summer league coach may not be aware of that. The recruiter or the scout or the guy that's telling you from off the streets that, you know, hey, you know, I'll take care of you. They're not aware of that information. They can't hear the same thing that you hear. You are hearing from parents' ears. Parents have very special ears. We hear a slight tickle in their voice, and we think they're catching a cold. That's where we're coming from. Everyone else don't hear the same way that we hear it. Only one that can possibly hear better than we as the parent of that child, and I'm not going to say student-athlete, I'm going to say of that child, are the grandparents. You know, because grandparents got the supersonic hearing, you know. But the parents hear those little things. And as Doc made it so clear this afternoon as he was sharing all that good information with us, hearing one little thing can tell you that, hey, something's going on. And at that point, you may need to advise your child to go see someone in the medical staff, training staff, or whoever. But I would even say go as far as saying you do a follow-up. You call up there and you talk to someone. And just tell them, hey, you know, nothing alarming, but, you know, I was talking to so-and-so the other day, and she gave me I didn't quite like the sound of her voice. Or he said a few things that kind of concerned me. What's your take on it? And they're not going to go into any great detail, as Doc was saying, confidentiality. But they can give you some insight on from a medical perspective, or start looking at things from a different light. As a result, we can head off the issue, we can resolve the issue, and be ahead of it before anything really takes place. But, you know, fam, this has been another great show, and I said I'm going to have a lot again, and I apologize for the technical difficulty if I had any callers that was trying to call in today. But I'm definitely going to have another show of this nature where we're going to have an opportunity to get Doc in and hopefully talk about some more things. Hey, but if you missed this one, you can always check out the archive copy. If you're listening to it now, we appreciate you. And if you're listening to it, that means you must have went to the site. And if you went to the site, right underneath you see our little logo, PCP Network. It says the word follow. Click on that. So that way, anytime we come up on the air and we air another show, you have the opportunity to stay tracked and stay tuned and stay on top of what we're talking about here at the Parents Coach Parents Network. I'm your host, M.H. Scott, and this has been another wonderful show. Oh, by the way, before I close out, next week on the 13th, and I'm going to be up on this one. I don't care what I have to do, but I'm going to be on top of this one for sure. Next week on the 13th, we will have the inner game for winning athletes. Inner game for winning athletes. No one other than my friend, Mrs. Lauren Fogelman. Lauren's calling in to us from, again, out west, and sharing some of that insight on things. And, hey, trust me, a dynamic show again. Lauren brings out the inside thoughts of what kids need to do to stay on track and have that winning, positive attitude. She brings it to us from a different perspective. So if you missed this one or if you ain't got it on your schedule, please put that one on your schedule as well. Because I'm going to tell you, you're going to hear something again that you may not have thought about. All right? Again, this is Miss M.H. Scott from the Parents Coach Parent Network. Until next week. Same time, same channel. We out of here. We have a great day. As my man Keith Wright would say, we're making smart cool. That's how we do it.